Scripture reading comes from 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 3 and 7 to 15. It can be found in your Pew Bible, Old Testament, page 320. Questions? Let's hear the word of the Lord. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man and in high favor with his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. Now the Arameans, on one of their raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Verse 7. When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to give death or life that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Just look and see now how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, "You torn your clothes? Let him come to me that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the entrance of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, "Go wash in the Jordan seven times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became angry and went away saying, I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and would wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" He turned and went away in a rage. But his servants approached him and said to him, "Father, if a prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more when all he said to you was wash and be clean?" So he went down and he immersed himself seven times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. If you're comfortable standing, if you need to sit, you know that that is, of course, all right. We honor the gospel in our midst with our presence and with our attentiveness. This is from the gospel of Luke, 17th chapter. You heard the footnotes. Here's the word. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." As they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean, but the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now you can sit down. Interesting set of stories this morning. Did you hear them? It was a nice combination. James did a good job of reading that first story with Naaman, that healing of Naaman, that an important story. And here is Luke's version. Here is this healing version from Luke. It is unique to Luke. It does not occur in Matthew, Mark, or John. this important healing story. And we illustrated that a little bit with the kids, didn't we? Were you paying attention? I have a lot of people say, I get more out of the children's moment than out of the sermon. We are all children before the Lord, are we not? Naaman. The story that we heard, the Old Testament, Naaman, he's a foreigner. I don't really know. I don't have that all scanned out. And this week, as you've noticed, was a little bit frenetic. It was a little bit unsettled. But God was working through Naaman, despite the fact that he wasn't of the nation Israel, and had given victory to him leading an army. God had worked through a foreigner. It's kind of intriguing, and I just set that on the side of the table there for you to be aware of. And Naaman was quite an important person. He was a man in high favor with his master. He was a celebrity, if you will. But he was not immune to affliction. That's unsettling, isn't it? I don't know about you, but I would think that we're good churchgoers, we're righteous, we're faithful, we come to church, we pray, we read the Bible, we believe that we're doing God's work. By golly, we should be immune from affliction, shouldn't we? Don't you think God ought to just keep us from anything from happening to us? It doesn't work that way, does it? Jesus himself said, it rains on the just and on the unjust. We are in the middle of a natural world. We were in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve blew that. That decision to have free choice and to be out of the garden puts us in a natural world. And in that natural world, there are good things and there are hard things. Cancers have afflicted us. Backaches come and greet us. All of the different afflictions, eyesight, ear sight, ear whatever you call it, ear or ear. This is not, ear sight, thank you. This is not punishment from God. This is living in this natural world, this place where we are being tested, if you will. Intriguingly, in Naaman's household, he's got a whole group there, and there's a slave girl from Israel. Now, it begs pondering this slave and enslavement and all of this stuff that goes on, but that may be for another sermon at another time. But the slave girl says, gee, if only Naaman knew this man of God, Elisha. If only he knew this wonderful prophet of God, he could be healed by this prophet. It's possible. So she shares the word, and the word gets all the way up, and it climbs up until Naaman decides, well, I'll give it a try. When we've been afflicted by things, we will try things, won't we? We'll go to great extremes, and when it is our family and our kids especially, we'll do anything we can. But here Naaman decides, I'll give it a shot. And so he sends ahead, he's going to go to Elisha, and he goes to visit Elisha. Horses and chariots. Can you imagine the pomp and the flags and the trumpets and all of the dust and all of the noise? And here comes the great Naaman, and it was quite a thing. And he comes, it says he came with horses and chariots, and he comes to Elisha's house, and Elisha doesn't even come to the door. Doesn't let him in, doesn't welcome him, doesn't roll out the red carpet. He sends somebody with the message. The message is, go down to the Jordan and wash 7 times and you'll be made clean. There's that number 7. 7, that biblical number means enough times, the complete thing. A week is a full 7 days. 7 is that complete number. So go wash the complete number of times until you are healed. And there you'll be. Well, Naaman's pretty put out. He said, well, how about the rivers in the place where I live? They're pretty good rivers. I could have washed in them. Would have saved me this trip, all the expense. You know how much it costs to pay these trumpeters? And look, I got all dirty and the horses are worn down and I might have to retread my chariots. And he's put out that he would have to go through all this trouble to come all the way to Jordan to wash, if that's all that was going to be happening. And he is incensed.
none of us have ever been in since, have we? None of us have been waiting in line for a long time and then we see somebody else go ahead of us that came in behind us. None of us have ever been incensed. Okay, I'm just me. I have once or twice. The servants come to him and they smooth his ruffled feathers and they pet him and calm him down. Oh, come on, boss. It's all right. It's okay. You know, yeah, it was rude and but you know, what can it hurt? It's just a little thing. How hard can it be to just do this one simple thing? Just give it a try. Give it a try. Do we distance ourselves from God with our arrogance sometimes and with our determination that we are above and better than do we distance ourselves from God? And I hope someone comes along and cajoles us into saying, I can give it a try. Naaman's flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. Wow. Now that sounds like one of those commercials on TV. You know, you use this special cream and boy, you're going to be restored. But here it happens. Naaman is healed and he's changed. When he stops, puts aside his arrogance, humbles himself, and listens to God, divine work occurs. Divine presence resolves the problem. And at that point, Naaman acknowledges God. Now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Let's turn to Luke. Some say that Luke was thinking about this passage and that it was 2 Kings 5, this passage about Naaman, that inspired this pericope that reminded him of what had occurred in Jesus' healings of the 10 lepers. This is, as I said, unique to Luke. Luke may have been a physician of the time, as much as a physician as you can be. Their medicine was very primitive, but he is aware of healing and healing people of body and of spirit. But there's this Samaritan that's there. We've talked about Samaritans. You know, Samaritans, they're the people that are just, everybody hated Samaritans. Nobody was supposed to be around Samaritans. Nobody was to have anything to do with Samaritans. You didn't eat with them. You didn't talk with them. You didn't say nice things about them. It was the country that the nation loved to hate was Samaritans. So there's 9 Jews and this Samaritan and they come to Jesus and they ask and they acknowledge, Lord, you could heal us. You could do these things. You have to remember that they were keeping their distance. They are unclean, all of them lepers. The Samaritan doubly so because he's a Samaritan. But when you're unclean, you had to let people know that you were unclean because you could make them unclean inadvertently without them knowing it. So when you were in the public, you had to shout, unclean, unclean, so people could stay away from you. And you couldn't go home because it would make your family unclean. And you couldn't go to work because it would make your workers unclean and your workplace unclean. And you couldn't go to church because it would make the church. You were a nobody, unclean, cast out, barely alive. Now, we don't know about Naaman. Was he unclean with his leprosy? There's a lot of debate about the term leprosy. It's a common term that applies to just about any skin affliction in Old Testament and New Testament times. If you got a rash, if you had whatever it may be, a fungus, a bacteria, all of those were things that were visible that came under the heading of leprosy. And perhaps Naaman had something different than Hansen's disease as we know it today. And the lepers of Jesus' time did. We don't know, but was he in a position of being unclean? Certainly doesn't sound like it. But here are these 10 uncleaned sinners. You see, that's the other aspect of it. When you were ill It was because God was punishing you. So you must have been sinning. So not only are you sick, but you're a sinner. And if you would repent, you'd be well. Especially, and I don't know how you do that if you didn't do anything. Hang on. I thought the freeze would take care of the allergies. It has not, for those of you who are curious. So healing this 10 unclean was more than just a topical cream that changed how your skin looked. This is restoring people to their lives. You get to go back to work. You get to go back to your church. You get to be back in your family. You're accepted amongst your peers. You have your lives restored. So this healing is not just a good medical trick or a good cosmetic change. This is life-changing stuff. And Jesus is the one that heals them. Did you hear that piece? When Jesus saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. They did all the stuff the priests told them. But they were made clean as they went. Jesus healed them as they departed from him and went to the priests. That healing was from him, not through the priests and the ritual, not from the priests and the washings and all of the different things that the priest had required. You know, it tickles me to think that the Samaritan is there. Go and show yourself to the priest. Well, the Samaritan going to show himself to the priest, he's going to get kicked out. The Samaritan would not have been allowed in. The Samaritan couldn't go to the priests. And we don't understand how that all happens. And what happened? Did he show himself to the priest? Did he immediately realize he was healed? We don't know. But this Gentile, this outcast, this person non grata, this person that others would shout, "Go back where you belong. Leave us. Don't be polluting our country with your people." The 9 Jews go back, they are healed without a thank you, without a word. The kids caught on. Took them a minute. I guess we've had enough goldfish over the last several days. They were ready for goldfish, but they were waiting for the long spoons that we used last week, weren't they? Please and thank you. You know, we need to do that in our daily lives, and we don't enough. I don't. I get up in the morning and roll out of bed thinking what I have to do instead of saying, "Lord, thank you for another day here, another sleep that has rejuvenated me, a warm home, eyes to see and ears to hear. Thank you, Lord." But the Samaritan's the only one that comes back to give thanks. It was, and it is, an outsider who teaches the people of God what faith is. It was a Samaritan. It was a Samaritan that taught them what praise is and showed them appropriate praise. It is this unclean, outcast, foreigner Samaritan that shows them what thanks and thanksgiving are about. And it was this foreigner who, in that instant connection with Christ, was transformed from unclean to clean. I think we ought to think about ways to get more of those foreigners around us. They seem to do good. They seem to be a real benefit to have around. And they are and can show us much through Christ. Amen?